Running a learning business today requires attention to growing reach, generating revenue, and demonstrating real impact, all while navigating constant change and fierce competition for learners' time and money.
To help, we've curated a collection of free resources for learning business professionals. You'll find frameworks, briefings, and reports, webinars, and tools focused on strategy, portfolio design, pricing, marketing, and more, all created specifically for organizations that sell continuing education and professional development.
If you care about building a stronger, more sustainable learning business, visit leadinglearning.com/free resources.
That's leadinglearning.com/free resources for practical tools and strategic insight to help you grow your reach, revenue, and impact.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 108 of the Leading Learning Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking to Dr. Andy Malinsky about his latest book, Reach, a new strategy to help you step outside your comfort zone, rise to the challenge, and build confidence. Before we talk with Andy, we want to highlight a resource that is related to the interview. Specifically, we want to point you to a Harvard Business Review article by Andy titled, If You're Not Outside Your Comfort Zone, You Won't Learn Anything. Certainly a view that we agree with. Now, this is a freely accessible resource, and it'll give you a good taste of the topics that Andy goes into in much greater depth in his book, which, of course, we also recommend you check out. To get the link, you just have to visit the show notes for this episode at leadinglearning.com/episode108. So, Salisa, I know Andy is a real expert at helping people get outside of their comfort zones. What did you cover with him?
Well, we talked about a lot of the concepts that are covered in his book, Reach, as you mentioned, and in particular, we put a learning spin on it. Andy is a professor at Brandeis University, so he's living that role of a teacher, but he also is out there doing sort of entrepreneurial work on his own, and he's actually building an online course that's going to help people reach outside of their comfort zone. So he's really deeply immersed in the learning world, and we talk about what it means once you understand comfort zones and how you can help people reach outside them. What would be the implication for a learner? So the learner who doesn't want to speak up in class, but that's part of the participation grade, or learners who maybe feel like they aren't good in particular subjects, whether that's math or poetry or whatever. But then also too, the perspective of the provider of learning. So once you understand how you can help people reach outside their comfort zone, what does that mean for the learning experience? How can you help to craft that learning experience? Because in large part, as we all know, that there's the information relay that has to happen as part of learning, but really it's the putting things into action. So it's that knowing, doing gap. And a lot of what he's talking about in Reach are practical tools for how to get people over that knowing, doing gap.
Well, this obviously is incredibly important. If you want to be an effective lifelong learner yourself, you have to be able to get out of your comfort zone, take a few risks. But then, as you pointed out, for organizations that are in this business, you've got to help people do that if you really want what you're offering to be effective for them ultimately. So I'm really looking forward to this interview. Let's go ahead and roll your conversation with Dr. Andy Malinsky.
Hello out there, I'm Salisa Steele, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Andy Malinsky. Andy is a professor, currently of psychology and organizational behavior at Brandeis University's International Business School. He's an author, appearing regularly in the Harvard Business Review and having appeared in the New York Times, The Economist, Fast Company, and others, and on NPR. And Harvard Business Review Press published Global Dexterity in 2013, and his latest book, Reach, was released in January of 2017. Andy is also a speaker and consultant, particularly in the areas of helping people act outside their personal and cultural comfort zones. Andy, thanks so much for making time for the Leading Learning Podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, so since my overview of your work and career was pretty brief, I want to give you a chance here at the beginning to say a little bit more about yourself and your background and your interests.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess I kind of wear two hats. My day job is I'm a professor in the Brandeis International Business School at Brandeis University, and also in the psychology department. And my background there is from organizational behavior and psychology. I teach. Just a regular professor life. Do research. And then the other hat though that I have is that over the past, I would say maybe 5 to 10 years, I've really started to expand beyond just the university in terms of trying to reach people. So I write, as you mentioned, a regular column at Inc.com. I write very regularly at Harvard Business Review, and I've written these two sort of popular business-oriented books, Global Dexterity, about acting outside your cultural comfort zone, which came out in 2013, and then Reach, which came out in 2017, about acting outside your comfort zone in general. And I've started to do and have a really fun time doing workshops and speaking and so on in companies. So that's kind of like the second hat. But that's a quick overview.
Well, great. And I'm particularly interested in talking with you about your latest book about Reach. And so before we dive into some of the specifics and the concepts that you cover in that book, would you give us a little background on what led you to write this book? Why write it now?
It's a good question. So the Reach is about acting outside your comfort zone, why it's hard, how we avoid doing it, and of course, how we can be more successful at it. And, I think I there were really a couple of reasons, I think, that got me to write this book. I think the first was that my book, Global Dexterity, which, as I said, came out about 4 or 5 years ago, that was about acting outside your cultural comfort zone. But I started to, I've lived abroad a couple of times. I've worked with people from different cultures trying to master American business culture and also Americans going abroad. And I've helped them not only learn the cultural rules, but also how to kind of step outside their comfort zone and understand the psychological challenges of acting kind of against the grain of your cultural background and your personality. And I started to get feedback though from that book, positive feedback from people who said, this is a cool book. My challenges have nothing to do with crossing national cultures, but I found it really useful. Like for instance, maybe an engineer who had to go into sales or something like that. And I started to get these, this inkling that the idea of just simply acting outside your comfort zone, period, would be a really interesting book and a very useful book. I don't know why it never struck me, but that it actually has been a theme of a lot of the academic research that I had done and continue to do as well, trying to understand challenges people have in stepping outside their comfort zones. I had been studying with a colleague for years, managers laying people off and delivering bad news, police officers evicting people from their homes, doctors performing, actually pediatric physicians performing painful procedures on kids, and having to deliver bad news to parents. And in all these situations, there was a professional reason for doing it, but it was outside people's comfort zones. And so I think both of those pieces fell together for me. And then, of course, I thought about my own experience. And, you're often drawn to, at least in academics, or I think artists too probably, are drawn to immerse themselves in things that they themselves struggle with or find, poignant in their own lives. And, I've always struggled outside my comfort zone in various situations, whether it's small talk or networking or public speaking, big one. So I think all these things came together and it really inspired me. And that's kind of how I came to the book.
Well, that's great. And I love some of the different threads that you pulled on there in terms of, this idea that you were writing something in Global Dexterity that people were seeing this other application to. And so, having that sort of shown to you, but then also then seeing your own needs in terms of acting outside your comfort zone. And that's one thing I really admire about Reach, is that you do use yourself as an example, quite a bit, that this is not just, kind of purely dry academic research, but that's something that you feel viscerally yourself as well.
Yeah, it's. I think it's important, if you want to write something or do anything for others, that you can show that you kind of get where they're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the things that you write in Reach is that you say to succeed in today's professional environment, we need to reinvent ourselves, often on the fly. So do you think that there's something about the world and work today that's made reaching outside our comfort zones more important than ever before?
I think so. And I think there is a timeless aspect to it as well. You know, I think the timeless aspect is that in our own lives, we're, you know, we often encounter like these sort of critical touch points, whether it's, you know, leaving college for the, actually starts before then, but we can, you know, start at leaving college for the professional world and kind of, you know, trying to jump into that world. That's a massive change where you're going to have to step outside your comfort zone, or moving from being a individual contributor in a company to becoming a manager. And all of a sudden your role and your responsibilities and all the activities that you need to do have completely changed. And then maybe being tapped as a high potential, or maybe you aspire to be a high potential, but then what it takes to then kind of grow into that and become a leader and so on, that requires acting outside your comfort zone in so many ways. So I think there's a timeless aspect to it, but now today I guess part of this is timeless too, but you know, there's, you know, people, you know, industries are changing and have been in the past too. People are experiencing a lot of pressure on their jobs and need to sort of expand their skills, become more entrepreneurial, even within a company, and to be able to sort of develop a fuller skill set, be able to work across boundaries, across borders, and really develop skills in multiple platforms. And I think that you can't be a one trick pony anymore to succeed. And I don't think companies want people to be that either. And I think for all those reasons, it requires you to act outside your comfort zone. It's not simply learning skills that matters. It's sort of grappling inside with the psychological experience of feeling incompetent, of worrying that you might be an imposter, that a feeling inauthentic, and so on and so forth. And so I think these are critical skills, you know, in a timeless way, but also now.
That's great. Yeah, I think you're right to say that it's timeless, but maybe some of the current world forces are also making it even more important for us to reach outside our comfort zone, or we bump up against our boundaries maybe more often in this sort of increasingly global world. So since this is the Leading Learning Podcast, and you started to talk about it, a little bit there with your last response, but I'd like to talk some about how comfort zones and reaching outside them relate to learning. And I'm thinking, first, maybe let's take the perspective of the learner. And so maybe tell us a little bit about what you see as the relationship between comfort zones and learning from that learner's perspective.
Yeah. I first of all, when we talk about comfort zones, I always like to sort of distinguish among various zones that we have. You could say metaphorically, we've got a sort of a stretch zone or a learning zone, like something that is outside our comfort zone, that does sort of stretch and challenge our skills, maybe makes us feel a bit anxious for a variety of reasons, but doesn't sort of reach the level of what I'd call the pure panic zone. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. that would really make it difficult when trying to make one of these transitions if you sort of catapulted from the comfort zone to the panic zone. You know, that's the real, really difficult jump. And in fact, I don't suggest people do that. And so, from the learner's perspective, I think it's critical to choose situations that are in your stretch zone. We could talk about the different sort of insights and frameworks that I talk about in the book in terms of it's a real process. But you know, it's sort of like the idea of, you know, if you want to go, I think they call it couch to 10K or couch to 5K, you know, you don't jump off the couch and go run a 5K or a 10K, or at least it's probably a bad idea. Most of us would break down. I think the same thing is true when you're learning a task that's outside your comfort zone. You probably want to choose some stretch goals, put it in your stretch zone, find versions of whatever you're trying to improve at that are in the stretch zone as opposed to the panic zone. Come up with a plan. And this is exactly what I do. I've created some online training to actually help people do this. I did workshops and so on. And we could talk about the various pieces, but I think it's a real process, you know, from the learner's perspective.
Yeah. And I know that some of the examples you give in Reach are you know, talking about just in the learning experience, sometimes there are ways that people have to reach outside their comfort zone. Like even just speaking up in class could be, you know, difficult for some learners, or for others, you know, they may kind of shy away from certain subjects thinking, oh, I'm not good at math, or, oh, I'm not good at poetry, or, you know, whatever it is. And so I think what you're saying about, you know, making sure that there's an appropriateness to how you challenge yourself so that you don't go from couch to marathon, or, you know, whatever it is that you're scaffolding it. And I know you talk some about scaffolding in there. And so that makes a lot of sense about the appropriateness of the challenge that you're giving yourself.
I mean, I'll just add one thing. You do want to set yourself up for success. You want to kind of stack the deck in your favor. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right? That said, you also want to balance between, you know, actually giving yourself a stretch. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to kind of, I don't think you want to, if you do want to grow and learn, you don't want to rationalize and avoid. I mean, that's, so there is that balance. So, you know, you don't want to rationalize and avoid yourself out of the task. But at the same time, you do, I think, want to stack the deck in your favor, and we could talk about it, but trying to find sort of set the conditions up that will increase the likelihood of your sort of success when you step outside your comfort zone and go into your stretch zone. Because what then happens from a sort of psychological learning perspective is that you will probably have some success. You might even surprise yourself and say, gosh, you know, this wasn't as hard as I thought it was, or, you know, I'm actually better at this than I thought I was, which will then create probably a more virtuous cycle of trying it again, and then maybe even feeling a bit more comfortable, and then maybe even stretching a little bit more. And that's the whole key from a learning perspective, to try to sort of shift yourself to a sort of virtuous cycle of trying and experiencing and learning and so on, as opposed to the avoidance cycle, which I think a lot of us fall into, where very little learning occurs.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, one of the great things you point out in Reach is that there's the sort of head-on avoidance, but there are other ways that we avoid, too, yeah. Right? And delegation, I think, is one of them, where maybe you sort of say, this is uncomfortable for me, but I can get someone else to do that for me.
Exactly. Or you could, like, another one that's really, I think, which is an interesting one is I call it, like, I forget exactly what I called it in the book, but I often refer to it as like substitution. So, but inappropriate substitution. Mm. So let's say you're a small business owner. I mean, this could really apply to anyone in any company or any context, but you're a small business owner. You know, you need to go to networking events because that's how you're going to meet your customers and build a sense of trust with them, camaraderie and rapport and so on. But you're quite awkward in these situations. And it's just really hard for you to do it. And so you say to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to send out an email blast, or you know what, I'll just post on Facebook. That'll do it. Mm. Right. And that's a substitution. It's not a bad thing, of course. Like email blasts, you know, I mean, assuming it's like an appropriate email blast, and in Facebook, they're not bad. They're just not a substitute for the thing you're really afraid of. Mm. So I think we often do that, too.
Yeah, good point. So if we switch our lens a little bit now, we were sort of talking about the learner perspective. If we think now about providers of learning, and I'm thinking, you know, of providers in terms of, you know, a hands-on role, like a teacher, like you in the classroom, and I'm also thinking of those who manage an education portfolio at their organizations, like many of our listeners. So if we think about providers of learning, you know, what should knowledge of comfort zones mean? How might a better understanding of the challenges of stretching outside our comfort zones and the resources that we have for helping people reach outside their comfort zones, how might that impact how we structure learning experiences?
Well, this I am quite passionate about. I really feel that a lot of the learning that's done in organizations, at least the part that I've seen, is a little bit sort of like kind of quick and dirty, check off the box. So, like, you know, you need to, I don't know, learn how to, you know, you want to provide your employees with this kind of training. Like, for instance, you want them to be better at networking, public speaking, participating in meetings, communication skills, whatever it might be. And so you sign up for maybe an online provider that will give some, you know, quick videos and so on about how to's or something like that, sort of like a resource. And then you can kind of, you know, check the box. Okay. Yep. We've provided that, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's fine. If it's fine, but you have to be honest with yourself about what your goal is and what you're actually achieving with that. If the goal is awareness, like to help someone become aware of some of the challenges and some tools, maybe that's fine. But if your goal is actually behavior change and helping someone actually develop the deeper skills, that's not fine. It's you know, you're basically choosing A and hoping that it's going to achieve B, but it's not going to achieve B. And so that's exactly why I actually have created, and I'm about 90% done launching in January or February with my own online training to help people do this, to basically apply the ideas from Reach to help individuals learn to step outside their comfort zone in very specific situations that are meaningful to them. And so it's a whole process. It's not a quick hit. It's not a single video. It's a series of videos. It's a program. It's a programmatic, process. And it's sort of like the idea, I think the learning philosophy to me, it's inspired by, I love languages. It's inspired by the idea of languages. And, you know, you learn, you know, a certain language, and there's a process to it, and you learn it, and you immerse yourself, and you make mistakes, and you then learn what you don't know, and so on and so forth. And as you go through that process, you're not only learning a language, you're also learning how to learn a language. And it's the same exact thing here with my program that I've created. You're learning how to step outside your comfort zone in a specific situation at first, the one that you choose. But through the process, you end up learning a whole set of tools and a meta-level knowledge of how to then apply that to other situations in your life. And so I really believe that a lot of organizations don't quite hit the mark with this. And it's a question of probably resources, probably time, and probably commitment. You know what I mean? I know I'm a bit on my soapbox here, but I really, really have a strong opinion about this one.
Yeah. And so, you know, you're developing a resource and an online training that can help, with helping others reach outside their comfort zones. I mean, do you think it's something that gets kind of baked into every learning experience ideally, or is it something that's sort of taught separately, and then you hopefully get people to the point where then they begin to sort of, apply these ideas of reaching outside their comfort zone in various situations?
I think I get what you're saying. I don't think it can be baked in. Yes, if you're training anyone or teaching anyone to do anything, they're sort of like a more thorough and a less thorough, and a more thoughtful and a less thoughtful, and a more immersive and a less immersive, et cetera, versions of ways to do it. But what I've tried to do is I've tried to create a whole system that's based on my book Reach and my research and so on. Of course, it's like super user friendly. It's not like incredibly complex or anything, but it's a whole system that people can use and learn, apply it to a situation that matters to them. And then when they come out of it, they really feel more confident, more insightful about the challenges that they have, and also feeling that there's a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of how to overcome these challenges and how to actually find their own way of doing it. And that's key to what I do also. It's that there's no one-size-fits-all version of doing anything. The key is to sort of customize an approach that fits you. And so I've been doing this for a long time, and I think that, you know, I do feel it's a separate skill to learn how to step outside your comfort zone that you can provide people.
Well, so I think we've begun to talk about it a little bit, but one of the things, you know, I hear a lot about is this, you know, the knowing versus doing gap. And so, you know, we know we need to be less sedentary and get more exercise, but we don't. Or we know that networking can help our career. You were using that example, but we don't get out there and do it. Do you think that comfort zones explains or helps to explain some of the knowing doing gap, and that the kind of work and research you're doing might be a key to helping make sure that more knowledge becomes behavior change?
Absolutely. I use the idea of knowing doing gap a lot in my work. You know, in the I think that there are three sort of essential tools that I've found in my research that help people kind of bridge the knowing doing gap, and we can get into these if you'd like. But that's absolutely the way that I think about it, because it's one thing in theory to know what you'd aspire to be able to do and actually put it into practice. And that, by the way, I think is why a lot of those sort of hit little short video trainings that a lot of companies do on mass or on scale to try to provide people with, you know, learn and education, they don't quite bridge the knowing doing gap. They get the knowing part a little bit, but they don't get the doing.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more. You say you have some kind of tools. This is something that you dig into. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about what you're seeing or how you're approaching this knowing doing gap.
Yeah, sure. Yes, so I should just briefly, just to give listeners a sense of the research in this. I studied regular employees in a variety of different kind of companies, managers, executives, but I also expanded beyond that: entrepreneurs, small business owners, doctors, police officers, therapists, actors, students. Priests, rabbis, all sorts of, even a goat farmer, all sorts of people in all sorts of situations too, in terms of stepping outside your comfort zone. Because I wanted to sample broadly to try to come up with to distinguish people in all these contexts who were able to successfully step outside their comfort zones from others who weren't. You know, what it boiled down to, and what I kind of bake into my work and my training are three key tools. Of course, first, before even trying the tools, there's a self-awareness piece which we could get into. But in terms of the tools, in other words, understand what your pain points are, what's holding you back. But in terms of the tools, conviction is the first one, which is just having that deep sense of purpose to pursue that way and doing. If you need to have that sort of fuel, that motivation, you know, the sense matter in a deep way for me. And sometimes that's professional. Conviction, like, you know, of always want to start my own business. I really, really want to become a manager. I really want to, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, make a meaningful impact on my customers, on the people that I serve. Whatever it might be, that there's often a professional source of conviction, but sometimes it's personal. You know, sometimes it's very personal. So I can tell you, for me, oftentimes in my own life, my source of conviction comes from my role as a dad. I have two kids who are 11 and 13, and I'm often trying to, I guess, coax them outside their comfort zones in an age appropriate way, you know. But then I look at myself, and when I'm presented with opportunities to grow and learn and stretch and so on, you know, am I sort of falling prey to the very things I write about? Am I avoiding? Am I, you know, not doing it? Because to that case, that's not the kind of dad I want to be. You know what I mean? The kind of role model I want to be. So that's more of like a personal source of conviction. But wherever it comes from for anyone, whether it's personal or professional or combination, you know, find it, embrace it. That is a real strong resource at your disposal. So that's the first key, truly call it conviction. The second one was customization that I found. And this was really sort of surprising and exciting. And I just kept hearing this time and time again with people that I was interviewing and also working with. I work with people, of course, doing this. And this is the idea that I kind of alluded to earlier. There's no one size fits all version of stepping outside your comfort zone. You can tweak, you can sort of personalize or customize, you know, just probably like a lot of people customize their coffee you this morning. You know, you can sort of like put your own little personal spin on something to make it just a little bit more comfortable for you to fit just a little bit better. Again, this is sort of in the service of stacking the deck for yourself. So sometimes that had to do with changing your body language, changing your actual language. It sometimes had to do with timing, you know, kind of like playing with the timing of a certain event, coming early, staying longer, playing, going late. Sometimes it had to do with a prop, like a literal prop, something to bring to a situation. I got a great email from someone fairly recently who had read my book Reach and said, you know, that idea of customization and a prop that totally worked for me. Her situation was that she was very uncomfortable making small talk with people she didn't know, and especially at parties. And she said, you know, she had this epiphany. She happened to like photography, and she ended up trying to bring a selfie stick to parties. And it was like, it totally changed her experience because, you know, she had this thing with her, and people would say, what is that? And she'd say, oh, it's a selfie stick. They'd say, oh yeah. Cause a lot of people know what a selfie stick is, but maybe haven't seen it or don't know how to use it. And they're like, how does that work? And she'd show them and she'd say, oh yeah. Do you want to take a picture? And you can tell, by the way, already, that's quite different from what it probably used to be for her, you know? And so that's an example of a prop, but you know, there's so many ways people were customizing their experiences, and that is just become a very powerful tool, I think, for people to learn to step outside their comfort zone. Cause oftentimes people feel powerless in these situations, but you know, you have some power. And so that's what customization is. And, the final one was clarity. And I found that people were, you know, we often do what psychologists call kind of catastrophizing in situations outside our comfort zones. Let's say it's, I don't know, public speaking, and you know, you start to fixate if it's outside your comfort zone on the worst possible scenario. You know, I'm just going to make a total fool of myself. I'm going to faint on stage. It's going to be awful, whatever it might be. And you all also probably assign a very high probability to that outcome in your mind. But you know, the reality is that there's a real middle ground, a big middle ground between, you know, that catastrophic situation. And the other thing is that people oftentimes might even vacillate to the extreme idealistic positive extreme of, you know, like, you know, I'm only speaking if I'm the best TED talker ever or something like that. And, you know, but the I found the people who are most successful were able to kind of claim that sort of fuzzy gray middle ground, that, you know, I'm not going to be the best TED talker when I go off in public speak for the first time or among the, you know, the first time in my life, one of the first times. And I'm also probably not going to faint, you know, and I probably won't make a total fool of myself. I'm probably not going to be great, but I'll, you know, have some high moments, some low moments, and, you know, but I'll be better next time. And, you know, having some inkling of the sense of clarity, I think, was really helpful for those who succeeded. So clarity, conviction, and customization, those are some of the tools that I help people with in my program. But I think those were what I found were part of that bridge, between the knowing and the doing.
Yeah, that's great. And I think those three tools, the customization was the one that sort of rang truest for me. I think it's that idea of once you know that you really want to do something, that, you know, trying to figure out what feels comfortable. And I think that kind of helps with what you were saying earlier about, you know, kind of the stretch zone versus the panic zone. You know, the more you can sort of customize it, the closer you can keep it in that stretch zone versus going to pure panic.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we've been focusing on kind of the benefits or potential benefits of acting outside our comfort zones. But, you know, let's maybe talk for a minute about the downsides or why and when we might not want to act outside of our comfort zone. You know, and I'm wondering, for example, if a kind of blind allegiance to acting outside our comfort zone might result in focusing too much on our weaknesses versus building up our strengths. So I'd love your thoughts on how building strengths does or doesn't jibe with acting outside our comfort zones.
Yeah, no, I definitely would not want people to leave our discussion here saying, oh my gosh, I have to step outside my comfort zone in every situation. You know, I think that's a really bad idea unless you're like a complete adrenaline junkie or something, or, you know, you don't. I think you really want to pick your spots, in terms of situations, in terms of timing. you know, at some certain points in time, it's probably not that great an idea. And there's a lot to be said for your comfort zone and to leverage the strengths that you have. And so I think it's sort of like the way I like to think about it, and as you can probably tell, I think I often think in terms of these images and metaphors. And I like to think about it in terms of like a portfolio. You know, like we might have a 401k or something, a portfolio of stocks and bonds, and some, you know, in this diversification, ideally, in that kind of portfolio. And I think the same is true in our lives with situations. You know, there are some situations that are fully ensconced in our comfort zone, and you don't want to get rid of those. Those are your steady performers, right? Mm. But I think you probably want to mix in for, you know, high yield, high growth. You want to mix in some situations that matter to you, that you think will be important for your growth and development, and so on. And those are the ones that are quote unquote riskier. But if you can apply the right tools and strategies, you can move them maybe from your panic to your stretch, and then ultimately into your comfort zone. And so that's how I see it. And that's exactly why in my program, I have people focus on a specific situation. Like they choose kind of like what, you know, one single key situation for me, that's what I'm going to focus on. And then of course, in the process of that, you're going to learn kind of the processes of how to do it. And then you can apply it to other situations.
Well, great. So next to last question, because we're coming to the end of our time together. And this is a question we've ask of everyone who's coming on the podcast of late. And so would love to get your thoughts, your experience around one of the most powerful learning situations that you've been involved with, you know, as an adult learner since finishing your formal education. And that can mean you as a learner, or it could mean you as the facilitator of learning.
So one of the most powerful situations that I've had it's been a learning oriented situation.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a very good question, because it's a good question because I as a professor, I am constantly in these kinds of situations, teaching and training and so on. I guess I would say that the most sort of impactful learning situation for me has been a course that I've created and have then run for many years now on helping people step outside their comfort zone, exactly what we're talking about. And my students choose situations, and I get to kind of live it with them and live it through them vicariously, exactly what we are talking about today. These are usually MBA students or master's level students. And it's like a absolute pleasure to teach. I'm doing it right now, actually, this is the time of year that it happens. And, you know, I look forward to going to that class every time. I love hearing, it's a very personal teaching experience, you know, as opposed to standing in front of a large lecture class, which I also like, but it's just a very different thing. This is really immersive and personal, and it's quite rewarding. And so I think that would probably be my example.
And so when you have them, you have them focus on kind of one key situation where they want to move outside of their comfort zone. Is that true?
Exactly. Yeah. And they apply exactly what we're talking about. They then have to go off and do it. In fact, this is exactly the kinds of things that I have in my own online training that I've created. But you have to go off and do it. And these aren't in sort of mock or pretend versions of situations. These are actual situations. So if you choose as your situation, for instance, you know, promoting yourself or pitching yourself at a networking event or going up to people you don't know at a networking event, introducing yourself and, you know, sort of kicking off a small talk conversation of whatever it might be. Let's say that's something you're kind of terrified to do. You have to choose real ones. Like you have to find actual networking events. It's not like a pretend. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing. And you have to go off and do it at least three times. And not sort of three times right in a row, but three times spread out so that you can kind of reflect on the experience. And I have a system to help people reflect on the experience, learn some of the tools that we just talked about, apply them, try them out. It's sort of like a recipe, you know, in some ways. It's sort of like, you know, cooking, and you're trying out the recipe, you're tasting it, you're like, I don't know about that. And then you're trying it again, and you're trying to come up with your version of it. And it's just a really cool experience.
And every time you offer it, do you choose your own situation to expand beyond your comfort zone, or do you get to sit back and watch them?
It's funny. I'm always choosing, things outside my comfort zone. I don't think I sync it up with the class necessarily, but becoming like moving from purely writing for academic audiences to starting to write for a more public general audience, which then entails doing all sorts of social media and speaking in public and doing workshops in companies and so on and so forth. I actually have grown to really like doing all that stuff, but initially at least it was very much outside my comfort zone. So I think this whole process of becoming more of a public, I don't know, I'm not really a public figure in the grand sense, but, stepping outside and really trying to make an impact on a larger scale, that's been outside my comfort zone. But it's something that I really have wanted to do because I want to impact as many people as I can. So, that's my journey, and that's my sort of simultaneous process. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, so final question, if listeners want to know more about you and your work, where should they go?
Yeah, sure. So I have a website, www.andymolinsky.com. It's spelled AndyMolinsky.com. And I kind of created that website to be the kind of place that I would want to visit, I guess. So I've got all sorts of, free resources there. As I mentioned earlier, I write for Harvard Business Review and Inc.com and Psychology Today. And I've got lots of articles there. I've got quizzes, I've got videos, and, all sorts of stuff. So plus I have links to all my social accounts and LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and so on. So, and my email's up there too. So I love hearing from people.
Well, great. Thanks so much for your time today, Andy. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Me too. Thanks for having me.
That concludes our interview with Dr. Andy Molinsky. To get show notes for this episode, including the link to If You're Not Outside Your Comfort Zone, You Won't Learn Anything, just go to leadinglearning.com/episode108.
While you're there, you're going to see various options for subscribing to the podcast. And if you're getting value out of what you hear, we would be truly grateful if you would subscribe.
We would also be grateful, as always, if you would take just a minute to give us a rating on iTunes. All you have to do is go to leadinglearning.com/iTunes. That'll put you in the right place. We always appreciate it. It helps us know you're getting value out of the podcast, and it helps others know what the podcast is about and find it when they're searching.
And maybe giving us that review is going to take you outside of your comfort zone, but maybe this is that one small step you can take to expanding your comfort zone.
That's right.
We also hope that you'll consider telling others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet by going to leadinglearning.com/share, or if tweeting isn't your thing, you can pick another social network of your preference and spread the good word that way.
Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.